Grand Rising, everyone, and welcome to A Human Perspective. I'm your co-host, Kevin.
And I'm John.
Where we discuss and explore the divine masculine, feminine energy, and New Earth insights. We want to take this opportunity to thank BBS Radio and Thomas for all of his behind-the-scenes engineering, and we wouldn't have a show without him, so thank you very much, Thomas. John, I was so happy to have guests on our show last that I felt that we should consider having another set of guests. Don't you agree?
Yes, absolutely, Kevin. And I hear you found a couple of dandies.
I did. So to continue our exploration of new guests, I feel it is appropriate to introduce to our listeners two beautiful feminine energies. Please welcome to the show, Bo from Idaho and Vivacious Vicky, who are co-hosts of their own show every other Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific time here on BBS Radio called Down and Dirty. Welcome, Bo and Vicky, to A Human Perspective.
Woohoo! And the crowd goes crazy.
Well, this is Bo, Idaho Bo. Unfortunately, I don't know what's up with Vic. But I'm here. So hello, hello, everybody. And thank you so much, gentlemen, for having us on, although only half of the Down and Dirty crew is here at the moment. Oh, yeah. I'm excited to explore whatever you want to talk about today.
Awesome. Yeah. So we are too. We're very excited. Okay. So, Bo, can you give us just a small little synopsis of what your show is about, Down and Dirty?
Well, it's actually about a lot of things. Okay. We started talking about building the soil for a garden. Okay. And we talk our next show, we've only been on for a couple of months. The next show was about getting your garden started because it was appropriate. It was late spring. Mm-hmm. And we branched out from that to have a couple of guests. We had our wonderful friend, Matt Denning, who lives in Boise, as a guest, and I call him a permaculture guru, although he doesn't like the word guru. He prefers master, but he is totally. He's taken his urban property, and it's an amazing site. It really is. We also had Don from BBS, one of the
that's right.
co-founders and owners of BBS, as a guest. We were talking about, of course, about plants, but also about preserving your harvest. And we even started to delve into the spiritual side of why we garden and our connection to the earth. We also have a number of articles up, from everything about pollinators to I wrote one called Why I Ferment. And we're just branching out. It is really about going forward and using the skills that have been lost to most modern society that our grandparents, great grandparents, et cetera, used for survival. But I got to tell you, not only is it fun, but it's such an inspiration to be able to work with the earth and what she has to offer. And so we just want to share the skills that both of us have gained. We also, like I said, we have had guests. We have a guest on tomorrow on our show.
Okay.
A gentleman from Wales. So that's a very interesting, we pre-recorded that. So yeah.
Oh, we'll have to be sure to tune into that.
For sure.
Absolutely, Bo. You know, Bo, you mentioned something there about the spiritual side. I mean, it's very interesting what's been happening and the knowledge that's being brought forth to us now. I've gardened for quite a few years, but never really considered that. And as a matter of fact, Bo, it was through your encouragement for me to read the Anastasia book series of the Ringing Cedars that brought that to light for me. And so I've completely changed my gardening. So I thank you for that. And I'm getting great results already with some of those changes. So yeah, the spiritual side is really interesting to me now. And of course, as I say, with what we've learned these last few years, it's absolutely incredible. And I'd like to ask you that part now, because I know you've been involved for a long time with gardening and different aspects of it. Is the spiritual side something new to you, or is that something you explored before? And I'm talking about in terms of relating with the plants as you're growing them, and that spiritual side where our two spirits kind of well, I guess you'd really have to read the Anastasia series for people to understand it entirely, but how your spirit affects the spirit of the plant and vice versa.
It's not new to me at all. Excuse me. My mother started a garden when we were children, so I had that aspect. Plus, she taught me the names of all the flowers in Southern California. That's where I grew up. And I have had a love of plants and animals and birds and the elementals all of my life. Of course, during the 80s, I took a little side trip, but I came back to it. But the Anastasia Ringing Cedars series brought in even a greater depth for me. But I've always had that connection to nature. As a matter of fact, my email address is nature girl, blah, blah, blah. But I just have had a connection to nature all of my life. And I thank my parents for that because my dad had a lot to do with that too. And grandparents. Yeah.
And I guess beyond that, for me, is the fact that the plants learn your frequency, and they grow vegetation and nutrition that will be beneficial for you to consume, the planter, the person. So it's a direct relationship that happens. How about that side of it? Is that something that was kind of
Could you
new, or
restate
you're
that? I was distracted. I just got a message from Vicky and she thought the show was at noon her time and she apologizes. So you're stuck with me, fellas.
Oh, okay. All
That's
right.
okay.
Well,
All
I
right.
think she can pop on anytime.
She can. Yeah.
Yeah, I
She's
think.
not home. And I
Oh,
don't know
no.
what that means. That's all she said. She said very
Okay.
sorry. She sends apologies.
All right.
Well, what I'm asking is one of the some of the information in there, and it starts with Anastasia recommending that we put the seeds in our mouth so that our
Yes.
saliva energizes the seed, but also the seed can read what what would be beneficial for us. And so the
Correct.
plant will actually adapt to your frequency and your body and actually aid you in what you need. And that this is the job of the plants is here for our benefit. And so there's certain things we do in relation with the seeding, in relation with taking care and caring for these plants that help it to get us to its maximum benefit for us. I guess that's my question. Is that something that was a surprise to you that that's actually on the spiritual level of the plant that that was going on?
It really wasn't. I've been interested in the secret life of plants and trees and how they actually communicate with each other. Vicky and I had a couple, we've talked about this a couple times on our show that the actual, in a forest, the trees not only touch roots and assist each other. And I'm having a brain fart and I can't think of the word of the mycelium. Mycelium
Mycelium.
in the soil is actually like the internet. And so there is always a mother tree in a forest because it has, it's the one that sows the seeds and grows up a baby forest. They're all interrelated and they assist each other. If one tree is getting attacked by a insect or a virus or what have you, excuse me, the trees will all come to its assistance. Another thing that sadly happened in my area where I live, they're knocking down a lot of trees, a lot of small patches of forest that were left. And this one area that was right down the street from me, probably was, it wasn't even a block in not circumference, but in area. And they started at one end, and I could feel the trees that were knocked down first sent out a message to the rest. And if you recall Asha talking about the beings or the isbies of the trees, they'll leave before they're attacked. So I really felt like that happened. And crazy thing is, I had this one fir tree that I used to sit under all the time. And it had a bunch of babies around it. And whoever it was that was knocking down all these trees stopped right before they got to her. So she's still standing. But I'm not surprised at all about the spiritual aspect. I feel like it's even deeper than just your saliva. I just think it's your life force that interacts with the plants, not just your physical saliva. You know, that does have your DNA in it. And yes, I do feel like that is true. It will give you what you need. And then Kevin brought up a point the other day about not just for you immediately who plant, let's say you have a vegetable garden and you do the seeds in your mouth, although it's very hard to do with some seeds like carrot seeds because they're just so
Right.
tiny. But how that would also benefit those that live around you. Kevin, did you want to talk about that? Because you're the one that brought it up the other day.
Well, no, I was just kind of making a joy a joke out of the fact that, to make the plant benefit you by, and placing the seeds in your mouth, I thought it was funny. We mentioned the little tiny maybe carrot seeds in your mouth, but then also like go the other perspective. If you wanted your avocado plant and it was a huge ball in your mouth, you look like chipmunks kind of thing. That's kind of what I wanted to was joking about. But you guys are bringing up a very interesting thought, and that's the spirituality of our foods. And I kind of wanted to explore a little bit about what the future may hold for us in our new Earth world when it comes to organic foods and productions and consumptions. And when you mention spirituality, that's something we've all lost. It's been gone because we've always had our foods produced for us, in manufacturing plants, large corporations. All the food companies are creating the foods, and very little people, at least in the cities, are consuming their own foods from the farm. So, do you feel that, and I do, I see it this in my new world, that people will become more spiritual towards their food. Now, way back earlier, back in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, the families would gather around the table, and the first thing they would do would be to bless their food, or have a say a prayer about the food or something like that. But I kind of really feel that here shortly, when we all become perhaps wanting to grow our own foods, that we will be more conscious of the foods and how they benefit us, and we would be blessing it or not blessing it, but giving thanks for the food before consuming it. Do you see that as something that will be on the rise here in our future?
I definitely do. May I be so brave as to mention COVID? And at the beginning of COVID, after a hot minute, I decided I'm not going to believe any of the BS that's being propagated by the media because we saw, this year it's Ebola, next year it's this, and it's, every year they were trying to get the masses frightened. And I just knew it was an instant repeat, although a lot of people, I'll say, fell for it. But I mean, it's kind of hard not to when it's in your face 24/7, right? Anyway, at the beginning of COVID, I decided I'm not going to buy into the fear. I'm going to start imagining and intending the world I want to see in the future, the world I want to live in the future. And that consisted of living in community, because at that time I envisioned that living in intentional communities going forward was really the only way to break the spell or the chain that the controllers, the aliens, the whatever you want to call them, had over mankind. Now there's a lot of words that you can call it, the evil, the dark hats, whatever. But mankind has been steered down this very this dark road on depending more and more on what's in the grocery store, to where
Right.
you have no sustainability. And unless, unless of course you do garden and have other sustainable practices that you use. Back to the COVID thing, I was intending to be in community, and little by little, I mean, folks, like I met you guys through an intentional group, and we don't live together. We're all in different places in North America, but we have an intention to go forward, and part of that is growing your own food. There's a lot of sustainable practices. We just did, Vicki and I just did a show 2 weeks ago on permaculture. And there's an article on our BBS page, bbsradio.com/down and dirty. And it's about three different movements, and I put that in air quotes, that will help move the world forward. And one of them was permaculture. Another one is the neighboring movement, which is a real, they have a website and everything. And the other one is called solar punk. But there's many more. People are intentionally coming together to form their own communities. And I feel like that is a way forward for us. And homesteading is part of that.
Right. Do you feel that also there might be a trend for a lot of the people who live in the cities to start moving out of the cities and getting their own plots of land, growing their own foods, and not relying on the mega food chains and stores for their food, especially now that we are learning how much chemicals and bad things and the processed foods are not good for us. I kind of feel that there's going to be a trend of where a lot of people are going to be moving out of the cities. Do you feel that way as well? Or?
Yeah, a lot of them came up here.
Yeah.
And now they're making their own city up here. It's like, come on, guys. Anyway, I do feel like that is a probability. I'm in the process. I'm just going to give you a little sneak preview. I'm in the process of formulating another article called 15 Minutes, the Birds and the Bees. Not 15 minutes, excuse me, 15 minute cities, the birds and the bees. And part of that is because I've seen what's going on up here, at the very tail end of the COVID debacle, a lot of people moved to this area. It's always been kind of a touristy town. It's on a lake, it's in the mountains, it's gorgeous. This whole northern Idaho area was sort of an untouched treasure for years and years. And now people are bringing with them what they were trying to leave. They're knocking down the trees, like I just mentioned, and they're developing the prairies where the farms are. The same thing happened to me when I lived in Boise. So anyway, yeah.
Something, oh, Go ahead, John. Do you
Yeah. I
like to
just
say
wanted
something?
to get back to the communities again for a minute. And I think Bo makes a very good point. And it is a good, sustainable way of living, but it's also a very good way for our spirits, our bodies, our souls. Now, with loving intention of a community, with everyone in that community with the same loving intentions, regardless of their attributes to the community, which would differ with each person, I see that as an extreme strength and an extreme exhilarated growth for our spirits. Now, frequencies, as you're probably aware, they don't add up, they multiply the energy in a frequency. For example, electromagnetics, it's volts times amps, not volts plus amps. So when you have 10 and 10, it's now 100, and so on. So the energy and the love within a community like that would just be off the charts. And I think you're really onto something there, Bo, for sure. And back to the planting part, it also mentions in the Anastasia series there that to go barefoot in your garden, and there's a microbiome in your toes or whatever that gets mixed in the soil, and it's all that communication that happens, as Bo mentioned, about the roots on plants and stuff. It's not just saliva or any of that. It's your entire energies mixing with the energies of the plants. And it's something that most of us have missed, and it's so exciting to have all this information come forward, and then to be collaborated by someone like you, Bo, that's been so involved for so long. It's quite exciting for me, especially being a gardener and being able to put some of these things into practice and see the validity of them. They really do work. And so, yeah, I'm quite excited about that myself.
There's when you take your shoes off and walk barefoot on the earth, there's actually a name for that. It's called earthing, and there's actually a book called Earthing. And I
And a
mean,
movie.
if you want to talk
Right.
about scientific, which my jury's still out on what science is. To me, it's kind of a religion, but there is an interaction between your electrical field, like you were taught. I know you're
Yeah.
into the whole electronic and electrical. Were you an electrical engineer,
No,
John?
I have a son that is one
Okay.
that's an electrician, but
But
I've always been interested in electromagnetics and radio and frequencies. Yeah.
there's that transfer of energy back and forth. And I can't remember what the organism is in the soil, but it actually is better than Prozac. And when you get your hands in the soil and start working in the dirt, it is kind of an addiction, but in a really good way. And I wanted to get back to something too, Kevin, that you mentioned the other day, that you can't see yourself growing the food going forward into the new earth. But that's what a community is about. Everybody brings their strengths
Right.
and their vision, and all together it makes a whole organism. And so, Kevin, I know that you were a nurse at one time. You can have your services exchanged for food or whatever we need. We're living in a community, and I see everything either as a barter or just sharing. I know a couple of our friends have Teresa and her bartering barn, and then Sunshine has some, I can't remember the name of it now. I beg your pardon, Sunshine. But she also has a bartering system that she would like to see going forward. And I think that's really important, where we share instead of, in today's society, we've been programmed to think everybody's got their house. And it used to be, when I was a kid back in the covered wagon days, that everybody knew their neighbors.
Right.
That's a joke, guys. But everybody knew their neighbors, and everybody, hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Just like you see in the older TV shows. And
Absolutely.
now most people don't know their neighbors. They
No,
don't
it's right.
know
Very
them.
sterile.
And that's
Yeah.
part of that article I wrote. It's called The Neighboring Movement, where you go and you meet like eight neighbors, and the article says to bring cookies.
Right.
I was, yes, I feel that I'm going to be one of those who are I probably will not farm my own food, and I'll just probably go to a farmer's market and get my foods, at least within the I'm it's within my immediate environment, and it should would benefit me. I was also thinking of those individuals who may want to stay in the city, who do not farm. How are they going to obtain organic foods? And now we all know that there are farmers markets around, and the stationery. But I was thinking of, I thought this would be good, at least in my world, there would be organic food trucks or mobile markets where the food truck would. Now, some food trucks that we know of, they prepare foods like in front of the factories or the corporations that, but I also see food trucks putting in all kinds of organic foods and basically being mobile and going to communities and offering those organic foods to those who are in the cities and having mobile, right, farmers markets instead of a fixed farmers market. Well, not instead of, but in lieu of, to help the people who live in cities, kind of get rid of the grocery store aspect and have mobile trucks deliver organic foods to you, kind of thing. That was one of the things I was thinking of. I thought that would be kind of cool. Maybe organic snacking and convenience foods. A lot of people would like to have some of those, especially since we now seem to our program to like our snacks. But of course, our snacks are not good for us because they're all processed. But there are people out there who are now making and creating recipes for those using organic foods and whole foods, and they could probably create snacks, even the little celery sticks and even the carrot sticks are. But what I'm just saying is, in the future, I think there will be other ways of presenting organic foods to people. And also, I like the concept of from what is it called? From farm to table or something like. Okay, so even the farmers out there could have a part of their barn or whatever. Fitted out to be a restaurant, and it is actually directly from the garden, washed off, prepared, cooked, and right onto your table. It's like, wow. And I actually saw a little video of, I don't know, a TikTok probably or something of somebody here in Florida, as a matter of fact, down close to Fort Lauderdale. But anyway, they had a farm, and they were a Brazilian family. And so what they did is they offered Brazilian foods right there out of their farm, and it's they've got a like a 2-year waiting list. I mean, people are just So anyway, those are just some of my thoughts as or thoughts concerning potential new future trends.
So for quite a while now, there has been a movement within inner cities and urban farming. And in a lot of the big cities, there has been basically wasteland turned into community gardens, and then they'll have a farmer's market right out of their garden. There's a lot of great mentors that have gone into the inner city to help to assist people with learning how to grow their own food, because we all know in the inner cities especially, there aren't grocery stores. There's a 7-Eleven or what have you like that, and it's all, like you said, junk food, all pr overprocessed, no nutritional value, high in all of the bad things for your body. The solar punk movement foresees the city's changing a lot and having rooftop gardens. And just so that is, I mean, it's already happened. These things are already happening. So that's a really, there just needs to be a bigger push, but I, there's a false sense of scarcity in the whole world. Oh,
Right.
there's not enough to feed humanity. Excuse my English, but BS. It is, there is so much land that has been sequestered and actually taken from folks and made into public lands, but you can't do anything with them. And there's so much abundance that is just not true. And then what was the other thing you were talking about? I was going to make a comment on it. What was the second thing you were talking about after the cities, Kevin?
Now
As Q would say,
rewind.
if you're forgetting things, that's good. You're in the moment.
I don't remember. I wanted to mention, you were saying scarcity is not true. And I again, I'm thinking about folks in the city. Do you guys recall seeing a video? I did. I thought I was amazed where this woman was planting food crops, seedlings, in between the cracks of pavers, right? So it was like an open city lot, if you will, and nobody was using it. And you have brick pavers, and in between, it's usually you see weeds growing between. And this lady basically removed the weeds, but just put seeds in between the bricks, and then allowed the food. And she didn't remove bricks or do any tilling or anything. She just allowed the seed to act like a weed, if you will. And she had crops of cabbage and carrots and all kinds of things in between the bricks. And I thought that was genius, actually. And she was utilizing a space that was not being used, and she was using it to grow her food, and it was from seed on. And so I thought that was amazing. And go ahead, Bo.
I remember what it was. You were talking about the farm to table.
Yes.
Years ago, I used to live in Boise, and there was actually an organic farm. It was absolutely beautiful, and they had this great big old barn, and they did what you just said. It wasn't a restaurant, but a number of times throughout the growing season, they would have these great big dinners with these long tables, and you had to buy a ticket. It was like paying for your meal, but it was absolutely a wonderful community event, and the food was amazing. And then people started brewing beer and wine, and it the food movement in Boise was actually very huge when I left. And then I sent both of you an article on the slow food
Slow.
movement.
Right. Yes.
And that's what I mean, I was already gardening, but that really got me interested, more interested in food. And that was had to be in the early 2000s, which sounds really weird, but probably. Oh, Kitty. Hi, Kitty. Everybody, a great big white kitty just came right in front of Kevin and swishing
Yeah.
her tail in his face.
I'm afraid that he's going to step on the computer and blank me out, and I'm gone,
Bo, you spoke about the scarcity of that, and it's false, absolutely. And of course, that's how they push the fact that, oh, we have to use GMO, Unicrops. Chemicals, so we can get enough food to feed you. It's a load of crap, like you say. It's really scary. But and a lot of people, of course, have bought into that. Oh yeah, we'd starve if we didn't have GMO seeds and that kind of thing. Bo, I was wondering what your opinion is on food, local food, and on the nutritional and spiritual side of that for a moment. And I think that a lot of us, we like to sample foods from other parts of the world, exotic foods and fruits and vegetables, and so on. But I feel that the food that grows best in your area, your demographic, where you're living, where you're getting your nutrition from the sun and the earth and all that kind of thing, that those foods would benefit you more than foods from another area of the world. How do you feel about that?
I totally agree. Eat local and eat seasonal. And, for a lot of people, not Kevin, but you and I, Johnny, we live in the northern part of the Northwest. We can't really grow unless we have like an underground greenhouse, which is a very interesting thing. We can't really grow throughout the whole year unless we have maybe some herbs on our windowsill or, but the winter squash and the potatoes and the onions and things like that will sustain us through the winter. But I totally agree. Eat local and eat seasonal. And Kevin was mentioning something going back to the Anastasia, where if somebody grows their own food and they live in a community like the Kin's Domains, a whole bunch of them into a village, where one person puts their seeds in their mouth and then plants, that's most beneficial for them. And then it's kind of like a concentric circle that moves out the further away you get from that locale, the less that your body can relate to it. I'm not going to say it gets less nutrition because, I can't verify that, but that really made a lot of sense, Kevin. Like for your family, what you plant is the most beneficial to your body and your spirit. And then as you go out, it still can sustain somebody, but they get less of that. So Kevin, maybe instead of just growing a big old farm, you can just have a few things that you really like tomatoes in a pot, or when you
Yes,
get your
right.
own land, and we do live in community.
Yeah, I like
Right.
that idea as far as when I just mentioned about the lady who grew her food in a lot, an empty lot, and just yeah. And so I could probably do that, but I don't think I actually will be living in the city. I think I am, I want to live out in the nature, and but I want to be someone who can get in my anti-gravity car and be and if I want to have a Parisian dinner, I'll just set the coordinates and go to Paris, and it just takes me 3 to 4 minutes to get there, and I'll have dinner and then maybe come back home, but I don't think I want to grow my own food. I want to tour and check out the planet and check out the world, So that's kind of what I personally want to do.
I would caution people, however, if back to the sidewalk growing, be very careful where you choose to plant a seed because on the side of a road, for example, there are so many chemicals and byproducts off the car, oils, the residue from the tires, and so on. I would be very cautious to eat something growing on the side of our roads or in an area where there's petroleum-based
Right. There's even water runoff from the roofs of buildings. You don't know what's on top of the, and when it rains, the runoff.
Certainly,
Excuse me.
absolutely, yeah, right. So you have to be really careful with that.
I forage mostly forage plants to make holistic beauty and health products. And the rule of thumb for foraging is at least 30 and preferably 50 feet from the roadside. And in the northern climates where we are, Johnny, they salt the roads in the winter or spray chemicals. So there's that, there's all the petroleum, and even the fumes from the cars affect the plants. When I was in a horticulture class years ago, my professor warned us then, don't forage anything right next to the curb, especially because you're going to get all that carbon monoxide off the plant. So yeah. And I think there's a word for what you were talking about, the woman, Kevin, that planted the seeds. That's called guerrilla gardening.
Gorilla gardening.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Or I won't say if, I should say in our perfect world that we're imagining in the new earth and the golden age of humanity, people will plant fruit trees, right next to the road because we won't have petroleum anymore. And
Right.
anybody can go and pick fruit whenever they want to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And the new technologies I feel will, help clean up the planet, so the water, ocean waters, and also that brings up another interesting topic is soil restoration. I think that's something you're really heavy into, isn't it, Bo? You
Yeah.
enjoy. And so I guess what I used to know it as crop rotation. Is there something, is there
Well,
a
crop
different term?
rotation just means you don't, like, if you have a row of tomatoes, you don't want to plant your row of tomatoes in the same place the next year. Because if any pests or diseases were introduced, they'll find that plant easier. That's crop rotation. And also, it uses different minerals from the soil. So if you have a garden and you plant in ground, it's best to move things around. Johnny, you probably know about that.
Yeah, I've always rotated, but now with knowing this companion planting, that's a whole new game.
Right. But soil restoration is so, down and dirty. The first thing we talked about after we introduced ourselves was the soil, because that's the most important thing when you have a garden. And to restore your soil, it just takes a lot of organic matter. So compost, a lot of compost, a lot of mulching, which is once you have your crops in, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. Just go to our show and you can and find out a bunch of different ways to restore your soil. But the mulching is very important too. Once you've added your organic matter or compost to your ground and you've planted, you want to cover your soil with a mulch. It could be clean straw. You don't want any weeds in it. It could be untreated wood chips. There's a lot of different things you can mulch
Right.
with. Vicky's been recently talking about they have a lot of comfrey on their land. And so it's a method called chop and drop, where you cut a beneficial plant like comfrey, which you guys, it's like a big weed, but it's very
Right.
beneficial for a lot of things.
Sure.
And then you can just drop that right on top of your soil and it covers the soil, because you want to protect your soil not only in the summer during the growing season, but during the winter, when you have a lot of rain, snow, winds, you want to protect your soil. So when I had a big garden when I lived outside of Boise, I would mulch all year round. And then I mulched with straw in the winter, and then I would just move the straw off of the beds and plant right there.
Right.
It's beneficial for the microorganisms, the biome of the soil, the earthworms, red wigglers, all of the little bugs that everybody goes,
Right.
ooh, I've got bugs in my garden. Most of those
Wonderful.
bugs, and especially in the soil, are breaking down the organic matter and pooping it out, down and dirty, guys, they're pooping it out. And that poop is adding to the biome of the soil. It's a
Right on.
big cycle. And I actually got to the point where I didn't disturb the soil. I didn't rototill. Vicky calls it lasagna gardening. I used to do what I called was weedless gardening. And there's all that kind of information on our page too. But yeah. So
You
restoration
mentioned,
of the soil. I'm sorry, Johnny.
oh, that's no problem. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You mentioned about the minerals, and years ago, people had lots of minerals just in their wood ash, and they would sprinkle that in their garden. And of course, we've got out in the country that's still happening, not as much as it used to be. Another way of adding minerals is using things from like volcanic ash, that kind of thing. I think it's called azomite dust, but also plants that root deep, which is comfrey and alfalfa. Alfalfa roots can grow up to 49 feet deep. That's incredible. So they're drawing lots of minerals up. That's why it's such a healthy plant to feed your animals. And so I use it. I grow alfalfa here, but sometimes I just go get alfalfa pellets and sprinkle them into the garden.
Oh,
And
that's a good idea.
And it adds a lot of minerals and other health for the microbiome and so on. People really miss that. They kind of miss the mineral part. It's a very important part of our food,
It is.
and to have that diversity of minerals. It's a good point.
So, Bo, do you feel that perhaps in the new Earth, there still may be room for hydroponics or vertical gardening?
Vertical gardening, the into it, I don't know a lot about hydroponics. I did have a client once that I set up a little system for, and so I can't speak to it all. So don't, y'all, if I get this wrong, it's just because I haven't, it's not in my playbook. I haven't done it. But the thing about it is that it uses a lot of chemicals. Unless there is something new on the books with it, it uses a lot of chemicals. But vertical gardening, absolutely. That's just planting. Well, you can plant in ground or actually in a large pot and set up a vertical garden, and you actually have a bigger harvest because everything grows up and you have more room to grow. And the aeration, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, like, somebody will set up a chicken wire and they'll make this big hoop and they'll plant squash, and the squash hang down, or the loofahs, or actually I even did it with cantaloupe, which was really interesting. I got big, beautiful cantaloupes that didn't sit on the ground, so there wasn't that rotten part happening. So absolutely with
I'm
vertical
trying it
gardening.
this year with my cucumber, actually.
How's it going so far?
Well, they're just small plants at this point,
Yeah,
so I'll
yeah.
have to keep you posted.
Please do, please do. And part of the solar punk is also growing on the buildings. It's solar punk's really interesting.
It
It's
is.
kind of permaculture meets the Jetsons or Star Trek or something like that. It's really interesting, a very interesting movement. I found out about, how when you're on YouTube and there's a recommended for you videos, and I clicked on one, and it's this gentleman who lives in Transylvania, and he has a couple hectares. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, hectares of land, and he's permaculturing it, and he's having people come out and teaching them how to do straw bale and cob buildings, and people come really sad and people leave really fulfilled to take what they've learned to where they live. And there's a lot of people that do that kind of thing.
That's
Yeah.
great. I'm wondering if he's adding blood meal to
Funny
it.
guy.
There you go.
Funny guy.
Johnny, you're the funny guy. Are you going to tell any jokes today?
We sometimes have a sad time. Kevin, do you? Maybe it's time.
Oh, do you think so? A sad time for sad jokes? All right.
All right,
See,
I'll
did you
start you off with one, Bo.
get that segue, guys? That was a great
That
segue,
was really good. Okay, all right. Okay, this guy meets up with a lady out in the town. He says, "I'm going to buy you a drink." She said, "You are not." He said, "I'm going to buy you two drinks." He said, "You are not." He said, "I'm going to buy you two drinks and dance with you all night long." She said, "You are not." He said, "I am, and I'm going to take you back to my place, make mad, passionate love to you with no precautions at all." She said, "You are too."
Oh, okay.
That is a sad one.
My wife, she told me to take the spider out instead of killing him. So we went out and we had a few drinks. He's a nice guy. Yeah, he's a web designer.
Oh my God.
I
Yeah,
know it
right.
is sad.
Okay, I'll tell you one that this one goes back 100 years or so. And this young fellow's in the house, and on his way home, he seen the outhouse in the corner there, and it was Halloween night, so he said, "What the heck?" He tipped the outhouse over. And he went inside to try to get him ready. And his father came in and said, "Who tipped that outhouse over?" And the uncle said, "I cannot tell a lie, Dad. It was me." So his father started giving him whaling, and he said, "Dad, I don't understand." He said, "Today at school, we learned about George Washington and how he chopped down the cherry tree." And his dad asked, "Who chopped down the cherry tree?" He said, "It was was I." And his father didn't beat him. He said, "Yeah, but this old man wasn't sitting in the tree either."
Say, I have five ways for a man to be completely happy. Number one, be with a woman who makes you laugh. Number two, be with a woman who gives you her time. Number three, be with a woman who takes care of you. Number four, be with a woman who really loves you. And number five, finally, make sure the four women don't know each other.
Oh, that's good advice. Oh, dear. Oh, geez. The guy's talking to his girlfriend. He said, "Do you know what I like about you?" She says, "My eyes." He said, "No." "My hair?" She says, "No." He said, "No." She said, "My figure?" He said, "No." She said, "My intelligence?" He says, "No." She says, "I give up." He said, "That's it."
Oh.
Yeah, you know,
Oh, man.
my wife and I, we're sitting on the couch and we're watching TV, and I hear a text message on my phone. Well, really realizing I left my phone in the kitchen, I get up and I go to my phone, and it's a text message from my wife. She says, "Please bring the chips on your way back."
Did that one really happen, Kevin?
Probably.
It potentially could exist, yes.
Oh dear, oh dear. How about you, Bo? You didn't tell any jokes yet.
Oh, I only know two jokes and they're pretty long, and I don't know if I want to go there.
All right.
Now, if you would ask my brother, he remembers every joke since he was like 7 years old. So, but I'm not one of those.
Have him on.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Now, I've got a thought of the day. All right. When a fly flies through a fart, do you think they feel the same way we do when we drive by a barbecue place?
Oh, oh my God, Kevin. They're getting worse.
It's just a thought of the day. I don't know.
I've got a really silly, cute one that's clean. What
Okay.
do you call a blind book?
A blind
Book. No
I have
ideas.
no idea. Oh,
No
no.
idea.
No idea.
Oh,
Oh, yeah.
oh dear.
All
This
right.
guy's walking down the street. He's got
Uh-oh.
his dog on a leash there, and he meets a buddy, and his buddy says, "Where are you going?" He says, "Oh," he says, "I'm going to the vet and have my dog put down." And he looked at the dog and he says, "What's he mad?" He says, "He's not too happy about
Oh,
Oh.
okay.
That's about
Yeah.
it. Okay,
All
Kevin,
right.
what's
So
next?
that was good. That was good. I also wanted to just kind of mention something else that we don't really think about as far as food consumption. And this is a hard one for a lot of people, everybody actually, because we've been programmed to use this particular method of heating our food, and that is the microwave oven. And I just kind of wanted to briefly talk about that just for a few minutes. And if there is a way that we can deprogram ourselves to use that, because it in order to heat the food, and I think this is general knowledge, I think we all know this, but in order to, for the food to be heated, it creates microwaves. That's what actually makes the food hot. But in doing so, it kills all nutrition, everything. So no matter how healthy that food is, when you put it into the microwave and zap it with microwaves, when you pull it out, It is basically junk. It's just no nutrition value whatsoever. So, if there was, I would like for us to think of, and I think there are alternative ways of heating. We used to do it because we all worked and we needed something to heat our foods quickly, or we are at work and so we only have 30 minutes to eat, so we have to pop it in the microwave, heat it up real quick so that we, but ultimately there's just no nutritional value. So perhaps we could begin to heat our foods with a toaster oven, maybe air fryers, the stovetop and oven, if at all. But anyway, that was kind of my last thought
But
for.
Kevin, I would like to add to that a bit. Now, as you mentioned earlier about blessing your food, and what you're really doing is sending loving intentions. And we know we can see examples of loving intentions on water as they freeze it and so on. You've seen some of those examples and experiments. So, and we know, okay, so we know that our food is mostly moisture and water. And of course, that's how a microwave oven works. It works from by resonating the water molecule, which resonates it at 2.45 gigahertz. And that's how microwaves warm your food. And so when they destroy the water, you also, the nutritional value isn't there, plus the water is now detrimental for your body. I just wanted to kind of throw that in there. So it's very important, as you say, to chuck them.
Okay.
I haven't owned a microwave in over 10 years.
Oh, good for you. Whoo.
I used to be a server, and the chefs would say it's the flavor killer. You know, the microwaves, they never used a microwave. And then later you
Right.
find about the nutritional. And I know we have to go, guys, don't we?
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, we have probably less than
Aw.
1 minute. Yeah,
Yeah.
I know it was so fun.
Bo, we're going to have
Thank
you
you.
back.
Yeah,
I would
thank you
love
so
to. I
much,
mean,
Bo.
we could go a lot of
Yeah.
places
Oh, for
over our
sure, for
dinner.
sure.
Maybe
Yeah.
we can get Vicky back on, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Maybe in a couple of weeks or a couple of shows
Yeah.
time, we can get a hold of you.
So again, please check Bo and Vicky's show out, Down and Dirty. I think it's tomorrow, Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And stay
Soul
tuned
Germs
for
is on next, and I'm also on
exactly.
that
That's what I was just
show.
getting ready to say.
Oh, right.
Soul Germs with Humi, and
Honey.
crew, Hummy and crew on BBS Radio. So, all right, Thomas, let's cue that extra or outro, whatever it is, tro. All right,
Thanks,
and thank
guys. Thanks for asking me on. I love you guys.
Oh
Thank you very
yeah,
much,
thank you
Bo.
very much
It's
for
been a
being here with
slice.
us. All right, and thank you listeners for being with us today on A Cumin Perspective.
Yes, thank you everyone for tuning in. Thank you again, Bo. Nice to see you and Vicky again soon. Thanks, everyone. Bye for
Bye.
now.
All right, peace out.